Hello, I'm with Barry Trower, the renowned British physicist and microwave weapons expert, who has, in the course of a very long and very varied career, worked with the British Royal Navy and the British Secret Service, and is the leading world expert on microwave radiation. Thank you, Barry, for this opportunity to tap into your very great knowledge, and particularly to examine exactly what it is that's going on with 5G. And to launch straight into that question, I would like to ask you the following. As I understand it, with 5G, we are faced by a quite extraordinary increase in intensity of electromagnetic microwave transmissions when compared with the already dangerous 2, 3, and 4G levels that make up the current Wi-Fi and cell phone electro-smog fields. Can you explain, in short, the main difference between, say, 3G, 4G, and 5G?
5G has a higher frequency. You will need a transmitter every 150 meters. Which is virtually on every lamppost or every tree. 5G has been shown in very recent history to be particularly more dangerous, even in areas where it has been set up. In one report around a transmitter, they found around 100 birds had died. In another transmitter, they found cattle that had died. It is a particularly dangerous frequency because of its high resonance. What I'm saying is that mathematically, it is so complex that nobody can actually predict the harm it's going to cause. Even the people who have made it can't predict the harm it's going to cause. Mathematically, it is a nightmare. One thing that interests me is that the upper end of the 5G scale is actually so close to the new weapons frequency. There is a new weapon which its nickname is the Growler. It can be sent from aeroplanes or vehicles. And the Growler is used to destroy the neurological and physiological systems in the body very, very quickly.
This is used for crowd control.
Crowd control, or if you have an enemy, or In one hand, you have the industry saying that, well, they won't say it's safe. They will say, we have not found any harm. But on the other hand, it is being used as a weapon. And of course, the two are incompatible. You can't have something which you can show to pregnant women or children and allow them to use it, and in another, use it for crowd control. And to say that the powers are different is absolute rubbish, because with all microwaves, a long, low dose can be equally, even more dangerous than a short, high dose. So 5G is a nightmare. Already, we are getting instances of, I think it's 70% less production of fruit, 60% decrease in insects that pollinate trees. It is suspected of already killing cattle and birds, as I've said. But the main problem, as I see it, and it isn't 5G, it is with the other Gs as well, but 5G is going to be much worse because it's going to blend in with the Wi-Fi. And Wi-Fi is a known, proven, and used weapons frequency. shall I just carry on?
Yes, okay.
Okay. This is quite a long question, but it's very important for Poland. I'll leave the weapons out for a minute. The problem that, as I see it, for Poland and countries that have huge forests, it is known and documented that, especially with 5G added into Wi-Fi, but with Wi-Fi on its own, 5G is going to make this worse. It is known and documented that in three generations of humans, only 1 in 8 children can expect to be born healthy. 1 in 8, if at all. It is published that with plants and animals, depending on the reproductive cycle, some species will be totally extinct within 5 generations. That's been published. So what you have is the total destruction and loss of Poland, without a shadow of a doubt. That is published, and it is provable. And one of the other main problems, which is going to carry on, people underestimate how clever and how useful trees are. Now, trees communicate with each other via their roots within the soil. They join roots, they help feed each other. If one tree cannot get enough sugars, they will help photosynthesize the others. They also help control the microorganisms in the soil. Trees also take out a lot of carbon dioxide from the air, and trees do not like microwaves. And you will find the resistance of trees going down as soon as you microwave them. But the other thing is, and not a lot of people appreciate this, if you have inland fish or fish in huge lakes or inland fish, around 70% of a fish is tree. People find that hard to believe because the trees shred their leaves, they go into the streams, they are acted on by microorganisms, they wash down into the water, the microorganisms feed other microorganisms, you start the food web, the fish feed off that, and in fact 70% of a fish is actually tree, from a tree, through the food web. Now, if you destroy the trees, you destroy the fish and the ground soil. But it gets even worse. When you have long, hot summers, trees produce a chemical of molecules which go into the sky. These molecules blend with water vapor in the air, which form larger molecules. And they actually form very whispery, small, loose-fitting clouds. But a whole forest will do this all at once. How the trees communicate isn't known. But it is known, and it is measured, that on very hot days, to protect themselves from overheating, trees will release these molecules and you will get whispery clouds above your forests, and that provides shade, which keeps the trees alive. The trees take out the carbon dioxide. Now, if you destroy the trees or you make the trees sick, you get extra carbon dioxide going into the water. The water has microorganisms on its own called coccolithopores. And coccolithopores produce a chemical called dimethyl sulfide. The dimethyl sulfide goes into the air and is the only substance on the planet known which can be used in cloud formation. So if you follow the cycle, if you make the trees sick, which you will do, then you kill your fish, you kill the coccolithopores, who are very low in tolerance to carbon dioxide in water because it makes it acid. They are already in the process of dying and changing the cloud structure. So just by affecting the trees that people think are just trees, you actually destroy the fish, you destroy the ocean microbiology, and you change the planet's weather. And there is one more piece of information on this. It has been found and published, and I did have it explained to me by a professor sitting where you were a few months ago, but I couldn't understand what he was saying. But bacterium and viruses seem to thrive on microwaves. So they become resistant to all the treatment to try and kill them. They seem to think, hello, we're in danger, we will multiply more quickly. And he did tell me the process, but it wasn't within my knowledge to understand it. But bacteria thrive. So this is why when you microwave plants and trees, and you have huge forests in Poland, within the span of a few generations, you are going to lose your forests, your fish, your plants, your pollinating insects, and your children. And it is proven, and I have the documents, you can expect only 1 in 8 children to be born healthy. And I'm sorry it's such a long answer, but 5G is going to exacerbate this, make it much, much worse, because the trigger for this was really Wi-Fi. When Wi-Fi came out, 1999, 375 huge companies used the Wi-Fi frequency, which is a known weapons frequency. That was really the trigger. 5G is going to make this worse.
Well, so basically this is a war, a weapon of war, as you've pointed out. It cannot be compatible with a healthy lifestyle, so that's the first point. The second point about the trees, of course, is extremely alarming. I suddenly got the message from Einstein, Albert Einstein, who I believe said if we lose the bee population, the planet will be in very serious trouble. I immediately make a correlation there between what you're saying about the insect population.
I have twice presented, we have a festival here. We have a festival here, the Glastonbury Festival. I have twice presented the environmental lecture to the Glastonbury Festival. One of them was on what I've already been talking about. The other was on bees. My bee lecture is on the memory stick, which if you can download it, my bee lecture is on there. And yes, it is well documented, well understood, that you will lose the bees from microwaves.
So this has been carefully avoided, talking about microwaves in relation to bees. We've heard about pesticides, we've heard about many things, but they've always steered clear of suggesting that microwaves might play a part in this. One other anecdotal piece of information concerning trees is that we've heard very recently that in England, where they are attempting to introduce the first experimental use of 5G, on lampposts in cities like Gateshead, for instance, and I understand in Bournemouth, possibly other places, they're actually clearing trees. I think possibly in Sheffield, actually. They're actually clearing trees from towns because they might interrupt the signal.
That is correct. And they're also finding that insects are leaving the area. And in fact, it's not just bees. And for any scientists watching this, I'm talking about the cryptochrome pigment with the double electron absorption navigation system that insects, arthropods, have, commonly known as creepy crawlies to most people, all flying insects, and they are responsible for pollinating 80% of the world's food, and we are destroying them in droves.
You know, the information is so extreme, so profound, so absolutely vital that I hope the audience is going to listen to this film at least twice in order to be able to take in the level of significance that you're describing. I understand that 5G operates on millimeter wave frequencies, very, very fast, short ones. You will describe that more accurately, I'm sure. Can 5G be used to specifically and even accurately target individuals, for instance, or cars or houses or even rooms within a house? In other words, that means, could it be used as a psychotronic weapon for population control?
Yes, it could, but you wouldn't need to because it would do it anyway. The problem is all living matter, every single cell in every single living thing on the planet produces its own little waves around it. And it's difficult for people to understand, but every single cell in our body can communicate with every other cell in the body. The whole body is one big chatterbox of components talking to each other. And in an adult, you have around 10,500 biological structures which all talk to each other. And you produce a wave or a field, I won't get too technical here, around your body. There are people who claim to be able to see this field, and I believe they can. Yeah, and if anybody wants to see or demonstrate this field, it's very easy. All living things have it. Just take two ordinary eggs. Take two ordinary eggs, put them on a shiny surface, and put them end to end. If they stick, turn one around, and you will find that they will fly apart. Because the fields will either attract or repel each other like magnets. And every living thing has this field. Microwaves will come in and disrupt this field. That is one effect. The other effect, which is what I was involved in the Cold War, were the pulse frequencies. Now, you have clocks in your body, generally regulated by the hypothalamus, but you have clocks that monitor different parts of your body and regulate hormones and all sorts of other things. You also have structures, tiny molecule structures, which vibrate. Now, when microwaves go in, the pulse frequencies, they can change these clocks, and they can change the rate that the hormones or anything is moving in the body. They can also, the word is resonance, they can also cause resonance in other parts of the body. Now, you have circadian resonant frequencies, and you have cyclotronic resonant frequencies. And you can grow in and out of these. So when an organ, let's say like the heart, is growing, when it is a particular size, it will meet the microwaves or the pulse frequencies, and it's like if you have a spinning top and then you just give it a little nudge and a little nudge, or you're on a swing and then you just lift your legs and you keep the swing going, and then you can make it go higher and higher. Microwaves can do this to the clocks and to the organs, and
unbalance
them and make them malfunction. Now, you can grow into this and you can grow out as the organ or the body or the cell changes size. And it is known to date that women have 13 different circadian resonant frequencies than men. So you could have a lady sitting in a room saying, I'm getting funny hearing, or I'm picking up voices, or I'm getting an irregular heartbeat, or something's going wrong. And the man could be saying, don't be stupid, go and see a doctor. Whereas in fact, she is picking up, or it could be a child. And the most susceptible human forms is the embryo within the first 8 weeks of pregnancy. That is very susceptible. So when I was talking to spies in the Cold War, for the years I did it, the spies that were using microwaves as weapons, I made a list of probably 30 or 40 frequencies that were known and used in the Cold War, mostly by the Soviets and the Americans, although we did as well, to cause cancer, neurological illnesses, drive people to commit suicide, breast cancer, that sort of thing. I had a list of 30 or 40 pulse frequencies, which I collected from spies, that would cause probably 50 or 60 neurological and physiological illnesses to the point of death. And several people have published this, the illnesses. I published the pulse frequencies. Today, I think the list stands at 750 pulse frequencies. 5G will make that much, much more. But it's not 750 where you get this or this. It is 750 factorial mathematically. That means you can have the effects of number one multiplied by the effects of number two, number three, right through 750. And some people who are electrosensitive and are having this affect them instantly, the symptoms are exactly the same as lead arsenide poisoning. You really just want to lay down and die. That is it. You really don't have the energy to move. And it is possible to change neurological structures and make people suicidal. And this is done both deliberately and accidentally. You will find around some transmitters, depending on what pulse frequencies they use, and they keep them secret, depending on what pulse frequencies, you will find mass suicides around some transmitters, 8 different types of cancers around others. You will find lots of varying symptoms, which are all known and predicted. But for the industry, for whatever reason, it is worth the, I think it now stands at, it's 17, I was told, $17 trillion that it's now worth. And it's worth losing up to 60% of the population for this amount of money, and it's as simple as that, really. And I have a document that actually says that people must be deceived to and the wording is, people must really be deceived, although they've used slightly different wording, by saying you select a safety level that cannot be challenged in court when people die. And the actual wording is to protect industrial output, profit. So they, and the whole list of illnesses, birth defects, stillbirths, miscarriages, they're all there. And the reason for all of this, and it was classified top secret and still is, but I have the documents, is protect industrial output. And all of this is to protect industry.
You know, Jadwiga Łopata, who's in the room with us today, and I were very involved in Poland in 2004 to 2006 in trying to prevent genetically modified organisms getting into the country. And we ran a campaign based on getting each Polish province to declare itself to be a GMO-free zone. We succeeded in this, and it led on to the chairman of each of those provincial boards to write to the Prime Minister and demand a ban of the import and planting of genetically modified organisms, and he actually did in 2006, which made Poland the first country in the world, I think, to ban GMO. But what I'm hearing from you is exactly the same message that we heard about GMO, which is that this is potentially an incredibly valuable patented tool for, if you like, possessing other countries, challenging the existing status quo, dominating the marketplace with something which is an entirely unnatural form, after all. So as a further point to what you were actually saying already, would it be possible, for instance, to generate an artificial epidemic using 5G if you chose to do so?
Brilliant question. I have said, when I'm talking to countries, I have said that, and you've covered quite a few points there, sir. First of all, this isn't all over the world. I suspect from my travels that 58% of the planet are taking avoidance action to prevent this happening. I do know that when I talk to royalty and leaders of governments, leaders of peoples, in the last couple of years, 17 countries have started to take very serious avoiding action. 42% of the planet, to my knowledge, isn't. And they are putting this, and this is one of the countries, this is being really forced out, and it's going into nurseries, schools, houses. It's going everywhere, absolutely unrestricted. You can't complain about it. It's just going up. 42% of the planet. So you do have an imbalance, and I have said, to answer your question, when you look at the, we know the uterus can absorb 20% more radiation plus than the rest of the body because of the moisture content. We know you can have 40% more damage in the uterus. We know that the uterus does not have the, they're called protein 53 and the nuclear core complex. The uterus does not have the immune system that adults have for defense against this. We know that within 15 days of the uterus, cells can be programmed to develop cancer. We know microwaves can produce cells to develop cancer, and I can run through the whole process. we know that the thymus gland within the first 8 weeks of the uterus can be destroyed, and the thymus is needed to develop the child's immune system up to adolescence. So, and we know it's been published. I saw the publication many years ago. That, I'm sorry, I'm being distracted. Can I just? Sorry. Sorry, I was being distracted. I read a paper that ladies who were exposed to a dose that an ordinary school child can get today in a hospital using a diathermy machine which used the microwave, the Wi-Fi frequency, and the machine malfunctioned, and the hospital staff from there, 47.7% of the staff had miscarriages in the first, I think it was 7 weeks of pregnancy. 47.7% of the grown-ups had miscarriages in the first 7 weeks of pregnancy. Now, knowing that children can absorb much more radiation than adults because of their size, they absorb more, they're nearer the wavelength, which is the resonant frequency. If you do the calculations, the 47% can become 67.7% of children having birth defects. And this is just from background. And this was published by the World Health Organization first. Recently, the European Academy for Environmental Medicine came up with a 48%, whereas I said 47.7 from the World Health Organization, it's 48%, the European Academy for Environmental Medicine. Now, if you add at least 20% for children, this is where you're getting your birth defect rate, where in three generations, just 50 to 60 years, only 1 in 8 of your children at this point in time can be guaranteed to be born healthy. And it's not children, it is all mammals. Because we all have the same genetic code. We have the same 4 chemicals. Any tree can read your DNA sequence. It won't do it any good, and it won't need to use it. But any tree, a blade of grass, can read your DNA sequence. We all have the same language, and all mammals will suffer this. So the 42% of the world where this is being forced out, and this is provable. It is documented. It was forecast way back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. It was planned, documented, forecast, especially your big conference, which is top secret still to this day, in Warsaw in 1973. They listed, I think it was 300 pages of all the, and brought it down to 98 or 88 categories. The whole paper is top secret, and you're still not allowed to see it to this day. But in 1973, they predicted this, that your country would be destroyed from microwaves. It is known, the effect is known, it is happening, it is documented, and it is being forced out for whatever reason, and I'm not a politician, and your politicians do not know this, they do not have access to the documents I'm mentioning. Even prime ministers don't have access to the documents that exist.
Well, as I said before, this information is shocking beyond belief. And considering you just highlighted how in 1973 in Warsaw, at a high-level conference of which the papers have never been published, you can verify the fact that it was predicted that population will, Poland itself will be literally wiped out over a period of time if this technology is taken further. Do you have a message for the government, for the Prime Minister, even for the people of Poland in this respect? In other words, they'll be interested, the people will be interested in how to stop it. The government may know nothing about it.
The message is in two parts. And I wish I were the one that were clever enough to think up what I'm going to tell you, but I wasn't. I was with the king, I was the guest of a king for 2 days, a very, very clever gentleman who had an international law degree. And we were discussing all of this, and he said that within 50 or 60 years, he would lose the viability of his country through all of these processes. He said, Barry, he said, in 50 or 60 years, I will lose the viability of my country. He also said that he gave me his personal telephone number, and he said, if you are talking to other kings or prime ministers, you can give them my telephone number. I will tell them what is going on and what are the consequences if they go ahead with letting all the microwaves in. I will tell them king to king. If they dial this number, I pick up the phone. That is one thing. And I carry this phone number wherever I go, but I'm only allowed to give it to leaders of peoples. The other thing is, when I go to a country, I say, put your very best opponents, the people who say I am wrong, I want you to line up your very best opponents, I don't care how many there are, get your best scientists, your best anybody, put them in front of me and tell me why I am wrong. That is my message. If you think I'm wrong, get me to your country, line up all your experts and let them tell me why I am wrong, and let me show you the documents I have and prove why I am right. And not only do I have to prove I'm right, I can point to your schools, your nurseries, your population, and say, there is the proof. It's as simple as that. But the message is very simple. 58% roughly of the planet are taking avoiding action. 42 are not. You have a choice to be in one of those populations. If you want me to come to your country, I will come to your country. I work free of charge. I do not accept gifts. I have nothing to gain. In fact, I have everything to lose because I really don't like traveling. So I will come to your country. I will give you the proof, and you can then decide, and you can put any opponent up against me you like. But I can prove that what I say is correct. I have the government secret documents, and I will put them on your table.
You've mentioned on a number of times already that this information is published. This information is published. I think the audience will be very interested to know how one can access that information, apart from the fact that your information you're willing to put out, so to speak, freely to the public. What about all these other papers that have stated this right from the early point in the 1950s? Are they all top secret?
Yes, they're all top secret. When I say they're published, they are published within the governments that I have visited and spoken to. And I have this rule that I will answer any scientific question. You can ask me, and you can say, would you provide us with this proof? That's not a problem. But what I will not say is which government or which king or what country I have been to, and I will not discuss what questions I was asked. So if anybody asks me, what did we discuss today, I will say, that is confidential. I will talk about your country and answer your questions. So the papers have been published within the areas I have been, but they probably keep them to themselves for security reasons, or they don't want the country that published the paper to come in and have a diplomatic argument. So what I give the countries and what they do with them, but they are published within where I go.
Now, at least some people believe that 5G was developed in Israel, not that that's necessarily of critical importance, but that the Israeli government will not roll it out in Israel. Rather, Israel will develop a fiber optic version controlled entirely by the government and Israeli firms, with no foreign competition allowed in. Firstly, do you understand or believe this is correct? And secondly, will the fiber optic approach mean the population will be protected from the dangers associated with 5G?
Yes, I really don't know whether Israel are rolling out 5G. I do know because it is published in the international papers in open court that Israel are taking strenuous measures to protect nurseries, nursing homes, schools, libraries, kindergartens, children, that they are taking strenuous measures to protect their population. I also know, because I supplied evidence for this, and I'm not the only one, I'm not the cleverest person on the planet here, I do know that the Californian Fire Brigade, I think it's Law 649, they have been exempt exposure to 5G, the Californian Fire Brigade, because a survey was done with all emergency service personnel, and I wrote two safety reports for emergency service personnel condemning the exposure of microwaves, because they use them a lot, like the military. They found that after a 20-year study that every single firefighter within the study in California, every single one had a form of neurological damage or physiological damage, and it was published. And when 5G came out, they were exempt the added stress of 5G so that it wouldn't harm them anymore. But it's known. It's known that emergency service personnel, and I've, as I say, I've written two safety reports. They're on that memory stick I'm giving you. the military just have to use it and suffer. They're not told. It actually says in this paper when I said protect industrial output, and it also said to prevent, I think, the military knowing about it as well. But the military are very big, they are kept in the dark, which is why you get a lot of psychological damage from the military, because they are extensive users. But I do know 5G, the fire brigades have been exempted, and there are other countries that are strenuously fighting against 5G now. Yeah, the fiber optic, none of this destruction is really necessary, because all you need to do is run fiber optic cable from source to the person that wants to use it. You can still have all your smartphones, all your cell phones. You can have everything you want, Wi-Fi and everything. You just send it through fiber optic cable. But the two reasons I can only think of why they won't do that. One, it probably cuts into the $17 trillion profit margin, or you deliberately want a country to be destroyed for whatever political or international reason. But but you do not need microwaves in the air. You can have fiber optic cable from user to source, and you can have microwaves in the air safely, because you can use a safe non-pulsed frequency. And if you can still have cell phones for what they were originally designed for, which is if you have a tractor that tips over and lands on top of somebody, you can ring the emergency services. If you break down in your car on a country lane, and it is freezing, you can ring the emergency services. If you use cell phones for life and death emergencies, it is a brilliant invention. It will do its job. There will be next to no risk to any plant life. You don't need all of the microwaves. You would need a trillionth of the microwaves in the air now, not even that. It would be as safe as crossing a road. You know, there wouldn't be any. So you can have everything you want, and you can have it safely. Now, the reason why it isn't, you have to ask the people who make the decisions.
When one is traveling these days, and one doesn't have to be even traveling, one could be walking around in a city or anywhere, you find people nervously operating their cell phone or smartphones or whatever they happen to have, tablets, etc., as though if they ever lost this piece of equipment, they'd been in a state of total panic. How do you see this? In other words, what I'm suggesting is it's already become a form of epidemic, a quite literal form of epidemic, that total and utter reliance on this piece of equipment.
Very good question. There are two answers here. The first is it has been measured on public transport that you can be as much as 3,000 times above any safety limit. 3,000 times. Now, if you think about the driver or a conductor or a pregnant lady or a child, and some of these journeys can be quite long. that is not a good thing. Sorry, what's the second part of the question?
Basically, almost like an epidemic.
Yeah, it is known, and yeah, it has been known since the Cold War, because I was involved in it. Although, as time goes on, more and more intricate knowledge actually comes out. We knew what would happen, we didn't know why. But now I'm reading papers on the brain and giving interviews, and now we know why. And this will surprise you, that the phenomenon that I'm actually talking about was actually first published and written about in 64 BC. That it's not new. In 64 BC, a Greek living in Egypt by the name of Ptolemy, spelled with a P, He, a very famous scientist, and his work is still used today. He found that when you would heat up metals or various substances, the radiation that came off, the same as the radiation from the sun. If you made a solid wheel, like a cartwheel, only solid, and you drilled holes, and he put this in front of your eyes, when he spun the wheel at different speeds, he could induce you to be drunk or sleepy or angry or behave silly. And it was known then that the photoelectric effect of the radiation going in the eyes to the brain would cause different sensations. In fact, a gentleman scientist from, I think, Yale University, that then went back to Spain, Jose Delgado, he'd worked on this and developed these pulses in the brain, and he actually said that any moods or behavior traits could be induced. And he could make women become sexually romantic. You can, one of the pulse frequencies will cause sexual aggression. It will cause you to commit suicide. And you get, even if you watch television, you will have a warning that says, if you suffer from photosensitive epilepsy, don't watch this, because there is a feedback loop in the brain that will trigger one form of epilepsy from this. And you can induce chemicals in the brain, and I won't run through all the names of them, but you can induce chemicals in the brain by the pulse frequencies coming in. The chemicals which can be induced in the brain produce the same effects. They are not the same chemicals. They produce the same effect as morphine, marijuana, to make you hungry. And when I say hungry, I don't mean you need a sandwich. I mean you will rob a bank to get food. Sexual aggression, nightmares, hallucinations, suicidal tendencies. The phones can do this. Now, people, you will see, they will become addicted to phones. You're getting this, the similar effect of morphine and marijuana, and this is now measured. You can see it on a scan in a brain. They'll pick up the phones and you get this pleasure sensation in your brain, like smoking. And they'll put their phone down, and then unconsciously they will think, hang on, I need to make a phone call. Like, I need a cigarette, or I need a drink. And you start using, and they are addictive. So one of the problems we now have is that the cell phone, smartphone, has been hijacked by children, and they are very susceptible to this addiction. And psychiatrists have written that when you try and limit a child's cell phone use or take one off, one psychiatrist said that the child said to the parents, and published this in Scientific American Mind, the child said to the parents, and meant it, a teenage girl, if you so much as touch my cell phone, I will kill you both in your sleep. Another girl punched her mother in the face that tried to take the cell phone. And this is where children are. They are really addicted. So it's like giving children cigarettes and alcohol and marijuana and saying, enjoy yourself for as many years to get you hooked. Now we're going to take them away. You won't do it. And this is one of the problems, is because adults and children are chemically, in terms of brain chemistry, they are addicted. And this was known in 64 BC. It is used by the weapons industry to cause people to commit suicide or get cancer or do whatever. And it is used to try and have brain control. So, and it's well known.
Absolutely extraordinarily important information, Barry. I'm going to ask a follow-up question to that. 5G is said to operate at pulse frequencies used by US security for intense crowd control. And that's going on a lot nowadays, you've noticed, to try and keep people from ever making serious progress, any type of rebellion, you might say. Would you like to comment on that?
Oh, yes, the 5G, it's just above the top frequency of 5G is around 78 gigahertz. The what's known as the growler, that comes in at around 90 gigahertz, which electronically and brain speaking, it is really no difference. The growler, I have known it to be tested on special service, military special service people, and it sort of brought them to their knees in seconds. It is for crowd control, which will cause severe neurological and physiological damage, which could be permanent, that could induce cancer, could induce any brain abnormality. And it is a weapon, and this is why I'm saying, well, if you've got a weapon here, giving a lower frequency doesn't mean that this is safe. It means it can be used as the same, only if it is a lower power. It will take longer. That's all. You can't have it both ways. But yes, it is used. It is known as the growler. It is made for firing or beaming from aircrafts. It can be used from vehicles. And it is the latest for crowd control.
Now, in the rollout planned for 5G in the next 2 years, 1919-1920, under, I believe, a title of something like Starlink, the gentleman called Elon Musk, who is one of the developers of the electric car, has brought a consortium of very big businesses together to launch an incredible number of satellites. Within 2 years, as I understand it, 20,000 satellites are supposed to be launched, which are going to cover the entire planet. As they say, every square inch of the Earth will be able to be under the administration of these satellites, and they'll be able to absorb all the information that's going on anywhere, target any place on Earth. Aside from the fact of the pollution caused by trying to launch all these satellites, the kerosene, etc., what is it about the satellite factor that plays into the 5G, what we're going to see on lampposts, these boxes which send the signal to and fro to people's smartphones, the internet of everything, as it's now called? What role does the satellite play in connection with that? This is something I think quite technical but important for people to understand.
There are many things. First of all, it isn't 20,000. It may be 20,000 satellites, but the actual number of transmitters going up is well over a quarter of a million. It is high-level satellites, low-level satellites, drones, which will be solar-powered and just go round and round and round forever, and balloons, which will be solar-powered. The number, and I talk to military people around the world, the number is well over a quarter of a million. For countries which allow it above them, and it's not going to be all of the countries, the people running the satellites will be able to, not that they will, but they will be able to control populations. They will be able to monitor every single piece of data that that is being transferred around the country, and there will not be a single government or person's secret that can be kept secret. They can target any organization, any city, any type of block they want to. They can target any sports activity, any government activity. You can control thinking processes, and the information can be sold to people who want to buy it. There are lots of people who want to buy secrets. There are lots of advertising companies who want to buy things. The information can be sold. So it could be used, whatever your imagination can think up, there will be a way to use it. And once it's in the air, you can't, if 5G is on a lamppost, you can climb up and turn it off. If it's on a big tower, you can knock the tower down, as some countries are actually doing. You can take them down. But if it's on a satellite, how are you going to find out where it is? How are you going to track the drone or the balloon? How are you going to see it? And how are you going to cut out? It's like the sky television. How are you actually going to cover that much ground if you wanted to block the waves? You know, you couldn't. Once it's up and it's up, it stays up. And then whoever is controlling it will have absolute full control over that country.
Well, just to mention three names, the Boeing Corporation, Google, and Richard Branson's airline, Virgin Airlines, are just three of about 20 consortiums that are pumping vast amounts of money into this.
Yeah. One thing is that the people doing this may be innocent. For instance, you can buy a cell phone, and the company selling it to you may be legitimate. What they don't know is that up to 30 countries make the components for a cell phone, and one of the countries could put in a trigger that says, we will now listen to everything you're saying and nobody else will be able to pick it up. Another could put in other devices that will talk to other cell phones. So you could have a trigger in the device. Richard Branson could be told, we're doing this, it will help humanity, we're doing this. But the people making it will say, okay, but we're also going to put in this and this and this and this, and we can activate it from another satellite. You won't even know it's there. You won't even know it's activated. And people with cell phones now probably don't know that even if it is turned off, it can be activated. If it's got a camera, they can listen to and watch. And this was designed for business meetings, for bankers to listen in, which is why when bankers have meetings now, all the cell phones are locked in a safe. But it was designed so when financiers and businessmen have a meeting, they could not only see who was speaking, same as MPs in defense meetings, but even if the cell phone is turned off, you can listen and you can pick up everybody else's phone call. And there are devices that will allow your cell phone to be used as a transmitter without you even knowing. So somebody can send a message, it will go into your battery, get a boost, go onto another one. just the fact that your cell phone is off doesn't mean it's off. These can be put in and they can be used. Again, the criminal world, and I've met lots of organized crime, they can not only use it, but it has already started and been published that this is very, very good for blackmail. very good for blackmail, and people are being told. And we've had our health service hacked, where the hackers said, we will publish everybody's medical reports on the internet, and you're talking about people with AIDS or psychological, you know, unless you pay us a certain amount of money. We've had our health service hacked. And recently there was a website where people could send in their sexual preferences. They were blackmailed. Other websites, we've had a bank hacked just this last week, where they've said, we will give everybody's bank details unless. So, you know, once you've got access to this, and the worst thing are these smart meters, because once you get the smart meters, you have a mesh of information going all over the place from everybody, and if you hack into a smart meter, you've got everything. You can even tell when anybody is going to the toilet in any house, and you can even listen to that. So it is used, it can be used for weapons, it can be used for blackmail, it can be used for crime, it can be used for other countries' defense. And once this is up and running, you are really at the mercy of the people who have got the secret bits. But it's the people putting it up may be absolutely innocent and don't even know what they're doing. But once it's up, they've lost control.
I wonder if you can tell us at least some of the names of the countries which don't want 5G. I mean, this is extremely interesting point, because after all, if the world is going to be, so to speak, divided between those that do and those that don't, the ones that don't already have extremely good evidence for why they don't, and can be extremely influential on the ones which are in between, you might say.
Right. I do know, you're into a sticky point here. I do know that the last 17, I don't know, when I go to a country, I often meet a leader of another country. The last 17 leaders that I have spoken to, I have had feedback, because they say, how can we stop this, or what can we do with this? The last 17 countries are actively now doing something, and most of their work, you have to appreciate that not even kings can take on the industry. In fact, kings are usually shareholders. Royal families, if somebody comes to your country and says, this is harmless, they're radio waves, we will also get you $100 billion, and they'll sign here. What the countries don't realize, and this is a brilliant question, what the countries don't realize is, when you sign here, you sign to say that if you decide to take the system out, you will pay the company all the revenue it would get had the system been there. And you are really locked in this legal loop. They say, well, look, we have signed to say, yes, we can have it taken out, but we must carry on giving the company all of the money they would have earned had it been left in. But that's not necessarily the case. And I say no, we're back to secret documents. Because if you were lied to when it went in, now you have legal grounds for stopping it, because it was lied, you were lied to. Because government documents actually predicted this, and they actually say that they will get this, and sensitive people will suffer from this, and all sorts of things will happen. It's listed and documented, the Warsaw document, the United States Defense Intelligence documents, other documents. So if you were lied to, so the last 17 countries I've been to, or not countries, the leaders, they go to their legal people. Yes, they have been lied to, the same as Poland will have been lied to. It's the only way. If they come to you and say, we're going to destroy your country and only 1 in 8 of your children is going to be born healthy, we're going to ruin your plants, you won't have any cattle left, and your food production will be zero, you're not going to sign. So you are lied to. It's as simple as that. Now, they are looking at the legal way, and they are doing it in steps. They are saying, we are taking this out of here because you didn't tell us this. And they're doing, you can't just throw everything out. But what you can do with the industry is you can start with kindergartens, nurseries, because the safety levels only apply to adults. So there is your, and they wouldn't have told you that. So if the safety level only applies to adults, straight away you've got all your children, so you can take them out of schools, kindergartens, nurseries, hospitals. They also mention sick people, so you protect all sick people. Old people, you can protect old people. Then you, and what the industry don't do, they are supposed to survey the area for sensitive people and children. And it actually says special consideration must be made. So once you start doing that, now you can legally start getting it. And then you can start leaning on the industry and saying, look, lose some of your $17 trillion and fix fiber optic cable, or we will go to the world court. And we will, and there is a list, and I have a list of 20 people, and I know one that is already been named for who should, a solicitor has already named a one person, a ringleader, to be taken to the world court for crimes against humanity. And the damage, and I have said this when I'm talking to countries, you will suffer more, no shadow of a doubt. You will suffer more than your plague in the 1340s and 50s and your plague in the 1600s. This will be worse than both plagues. But you can go to the world court, and I have known there is a professor who I know, because I've sent the information, a professor went to the world court with 5 other professors to stop this on the grounds of genocide. It is genocide. Yep, it is absolute genocide. And steps are being made to go to the world court and name individuals. At the moment, with 42%, it's being rolled out. But can I name the 17 countries? No, because it is a private conversation, and they are in legal processes. And if I named it, the industry will be monitoring every word of this, and they will say, right, target this country, get your lawyers over there. And they have really good lawyers. I went to one court case, and the first Land Rover was full of men with white wigs, wore white wigs, and the second Land Rover was people who carried their papers for them. I mean, they turn up in force with their legal experts. So, yes, I do know the last 17 countries. Yes, they are taking action, and it can be taken, and you can win. But you need a team of very good lawyers, and you need the documents I have.
Well, we're getting close, I think, to the end of this session. I did have a question which I, it might have been answered already, but I would like to go back to it. And actually, based on a testimony you gave to United States District Court of Oregon some time back, And I'm literally copied this down because I thought it was so interesting. I think it might. No, it's not. Okay. I'm going to read what you said. To my knowledge, this is in front of the district court in Oregon. You said, to my knowledge, microwave or radio wave sickness was first reported in August 1932 with the symptoms of severe tiredness, fatigue, fitful sleep, headaches, intolerability, and high susceptibility to infection in 1932. And now, listen to this, everybody, because this is exactly what hundreds of people are reporting to us in Poland, in England, of exactly these symptoms. By 1971, the US Medical Research Institute, the NMRI, excuse me, referenced 2,300 research articles listing an excess of 120 impairments and illnesses attributed to the radio frequency and microwave radiation. So already back in 1971, you had enormous amount of evidence of the problem. So under the Freedom of Information Act, you say, extracts from the published US Defense Intelligence Agency documents confirmed NMRI research and stated, quote, if the more advanced nations of the West are strict in enforcement of stringent exposure standards, there could be unfavorable effects on industrial output and military functions. I'm going to read that again. If the more advanced nations of the West are strict in enforcement of stringent exposure standards, there could be unfavorable effects on industrial output and military functions.
Absolutely correct. After this, what happened was the scientific advisors, they needed a level of microwaves that could not be taken to court, that where you could not complain about being ill. And what they did, they went back to a gentleman scientist, I think his name was Sean Swan, something like that. And he set a level based in 1953 on a particular type of radiation. And the outcome of this, which is still in force today in Poland, and 42% of the planet who are in fact dying from microwaves, they said, and this is one rule, and this is the only safety rule, in 42% of the planet, most of Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, or they've changed now, but most of Europe, Australia, Canada, what they said was, and this is the only safety rule, and it takes some believing, if you do not feel too warm in 6 minutes, it is deemed safe for everybody for a lifetime's exposure of any frequency, any power. So in other words, if you do not feel too warm in 6 minutes, it is deemed safe. Now think about that. You've got a schoolroom full of Wi-Fi, and if the children do not say, this Wi-Fi is making me feel too warm, in 6 minutes, it is safe for them to use from a nursery right the way through up university to the day they finish and sit in front of it. But the clever bit is that microwaves, which is how microwave ovens work, of course, microwaves cook from the inside out. Your brains do not have heat sensors inside. They're on the outside. Your body, the heat sensors are on the outside. Microwaves go inside. So what they have said is, if you do not feel too warm in 6 minutes with the sensors you do not have, it is deemed safe for life. In other words, what they have done is said, we have set a safety level that you will never, ever challenge in court. And when you sign to say, I'll have this in my country, that is the safety level you are agreeing to. And they knew before that that was not safe, and it doesn't apply to children and animals and things, and this is your loophole, but this is the safety level, and that is it.
You said further, in order to protect industrial profit and military function and to avoid litigation from military employees, it was suggested that governments in the West choose a safety level compatible to the military industrial output. The governments that adopted the thermal level denied, and still to this day deny, any adverse effect from sub-thermal levels. I just added to that. So this has been a weapon of mass destruction from the start. Could you possibly explain the difference between thermal and sub-thermal? Also how this relates to smartphones and other cell phone technologies, but you've covered the second part, I think.
Yeah, you have ionizing and non-ionizing, really. Ionizing gamma rays, X-rays, that end of the spectrum. Non-ionizing, you're looking at your straightforward microwaves. Non-thermal is when you do not heat up, I need to get, it's, I think it's heating up 1 kilogram of body mass within 6 minutes by 1 degree. It's based on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
When people put a mobile phone to their ears, they talk about feeling warm. Now, is that connected with this issue? I think that people thought that was the problem. They didn't realize it was a whole other level.
No, we're talking about whole body radiation, but in fact, different areas of the body have different thermal levels. When you put the phone to your ear and your ear feels warm, in fact, to show how dangerous this thermal or below thermal level is, all of the cell phones, all of the transmitters, the military, everybody, it is all given the below thermal level. So none of it should cause a kilogram of your body mass to heat up in 6 minutes by 1 degree, basically. It is all below thermal. Everything you use is below thermal. What they have not told you is that when you put the cell phone to your ear, and in fact, if you look at the safety guide that comes with cell phones, it says, do not hold it next to the skin. when you hold it and you feel warm, in fact, they're wrong, because it is known and has been known that when you warm your skin by 0.6 of 1 degree, which is basically a half of 1 degree, when your cells heat up by 0.6 of 1 degree, what are known as the heat shock proteins come into access. The cell realizes it is in danger and starts a mechanism like a scaffold around the cell to protect it. But it can also protect then cancer cells. And so what you can do once it's 0.6 is you can start protecting cancer cells from the rest of the body to destroy. And you also disrupt the cellular process. People don't realize that the heat shock proteins are actually chaperones within the cell, and there are millions of little chemical reactions that take place, and they have quite a lot to play. So you are, the moment you start warming it, you're doing damage anyway.
I think we would now like to spend maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes considering a positive outcome, how people can get together to rid the planet of this horror story, this genocide process, and how we can work together to ensure that there are plenty of other problems on the planet. This is such an extreme one that Jadwiga and I, who worked on GMO at that time, we thought this was probably what the most significant problem for the food chain. But now we see that these emissions, in fact, are also deadly to the food chain itself, let alone the GMO side. And then there's also the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the biosphere. And so all of this is under threat. So how can we put a stop to these developments, which amount to acts of genocide, and to the human population, an ecocide against the biodiversity of nature?
It's easier said than done, but you have to go up against now the most powerful industry that the planet has ever known. In fact, the industry is so powerful it can buy governments, and there is a way to control this, and to control this you take as many microwaves out of the air as possible. Everything can go on fiber optic cable. You can have cafes and transport where you plug in to fiber optic. Libraries can have fiber optic cables. Schools, houses can be fitted with that. So you take out all the microwaves from the air and you leave it, which is what it was originally intended for, as a life and death emergency. Then there is no problem. But what you've got now are children and people who are chemically hooked on cell phones, and they are going to destroy the planet that they're living on. It is a total re-education system. The other thing that some countries are doing is they are setting up white zones. White zones are now parts of country where there are no microwaves allowed. This is why they want to put up satellites to come down, and people can go and live in white zones, and you can grow your own food and do your own thing. So there are white zones. We will reach a crunch point whereby, like with smoking, you can only lie to so many people for so long. And when there have been too many funerals, particularly children, somebody is going to say, we've made all the money we're going to get out of this. You can't take us to court, but we can't risk the planet anymore. Now we'll have a new system. And the new system they're working on is light. Instead of microwaves, they're using light. I first saw a demonstration of this in 1982. So they're only going as long as they need to make as much as they can. The fact that people are going to die is really irrelevant. maybe in 10 years, 15 years, you will have all fiber optic cable. You will have light instead of microwaves, or a different light frequency. That is coming in now. They're perfecting it. And then the people in the future will say, well, how on earth did they get away with microwaves killing that many people for so long? The same as we said, and I know the answer, why did smoking keep going for so long when it was known in 1599 how it caused cancer, or why was lead put in petrol and kept for 30 years a secret, diesel and all the other things? And it is industry, like you read out, it is industry saying, we are going to make as much from this as many of you that die have to. That's par for the course. It's unfortunate, but there you are. You can't take us to court because we are invincible. And there you are. Yeah, and that's it. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It can't go on because even the people making their trillions will want to live somewhere. And the time will come when they will stop it. They will get rid of the microwaves, use light, fibre optic cable. We breed a new breed of children who are not chemically addicted. It is worth saying now that one country, and I can't mention it, one country has now opened up clinics to detoxify children from their cell phones and detoxify them and get them back to normal. So in the world, and it is a big country, and the clinics are right across the country, they are now detoxifying children. And it has started, and I know other countries that are now restricting children, saying you will not have a cell phone until you reach this age, and then we will tell you how much you can use it. So there are countries doing something about this. But in our part of the world, the countries in Europe that have not listened, where the industry, the Wi-Fi and the 5G are running rampant across the country, once it's in, it will be in until the industry decides to take it out. And however many of you die, that's just unfortunate as far as the industry goes.
Okay, now I really think that this very much concludes the talk today. I would only add that those of us who live and work with the spiritual dimension in ourselves, the human dimension, the spiritual dimension, must also be aware that this spiritual dimension connects up with light. So it doesn't connect up with microwaves. The spiritual direction is to do with light emanations, to do with photons, to do with completely different and natural forms of background energy, so to speak.
Can I just finish with one spiritual thing, please? during one legal case, just about 2 or 3 minutes, okay? During a legal case, lunchtime, I went into a pub, have a cup of coffee and a sandwich, or a Guinness or a sandwich, and the barrister came, the opposing barrister for the industry, sat down, and he said, "You know you're going to lose." And I said, "Well, I tend to lose because I don't have the legal knowledge and the planning law. And in this country, you are not allowed to use health as a reason to take down a transmitter or stop a planning application. They have said you may not use health as a reason." And he said, you're going to lose. And I said, "Okay, but I will still try." And I said, "Will you answer me one question?" I said, "I'm prepared when I go into the afterlife to face all of the spirits. And I'm prepared to say I lost, but I tried. I wasn't good enough. But you, on the other hand, you are doing this with all the knowledge that you have. And when you go into the afterlife and they're not impressed by your club, the size of your yacht, your mansion, your bank account, what one sentence will you say having caused this genocide? What one sentence can you give? I can stand there as a loser and I tried. What one sentence will you say, please tell me, where there is no lying, because they can look right through you? When you face the judges, what one sentence will you say to justify genocide?" And he thought about it. He didn't answer. He went away and he won. But that is what I would say to your decision makers in Poland. One day, you will face your judge for genocide.
Well, Barry, that's not a very appropriate ending. I'm not going to attempt to add anything to that. And I just wanted to say on behalf of us all, and to the thousands and I hope millions that watch this program, this has been an extraordinarily important 2 hours or so we've had. We've all learnt things which I think we're going to need a couple of days to absorb and to really feel the weight of. And then we're going to set about the work we need to do to save Poland, and not just Poland, Europe, the world, etc. And you will be largely responsible for the fact that we have that courage and that energy. Thank you very much indeed.